Welcome back, and thank you for listening to Across the Bifrost. Today, we cover our first episode of many to come of the upcoming X-Men releases. We're going to talk about Sabretooth and Wolverine. Really excited for that. Before we dive into it, I want to thank a few different groups and parties, starting with our Patreons. Patreon.com/AcrossTheBifrost. If you're in a place to financially support the podcast, you get access to our weekly bonus episode. We call it the After the Credit Scenes. We do a couple Patreon-only events, and we're mailing out our Range 5 measuring sticks to Patreons this week, too. So Patreon.com/AcrossTheBifrost for full information about what you can do if you want to support the pod and you're in a place to financially. After that, we want to thank Discount Games Incorporated, always selling products at the maximum allowed discount price. If your local game store can't get it or doesn't have what you're looking for, be sure to check out DiscountGamesInc.com. Last, certainly not least, is Muse on Minis, purveyors of high-quality wargaming products made by gamers for gamers. If you're looking to expand your token arsenal, be sure to check out Muse on Minis and MuseOnStore.com. All right, without any further ado, here are the Uncanny X-Men, Sabretooth and Wolverine.
Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up high, there's a...
Welcome back to Across the Bifrost. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Pat Dunford, and we are going to be talking about the new extra-sharp, extremely durable box of Wolverine and Sabretooth. But before we dive into this exciting box by Atomic Mass Games, Pat, how are you holding up?
I am holding up real good. It's coming up now to November. We have the X-Men boxes here, and oh my gosh, the rate is finally over. I've been hyped for these since the announcement at Gen Con. These are some of the most popular, iconic characters in the Marvel Universe, and they're here in MCP. I could not be happier.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of X-Men boxes to cover, and then Pat and I... we haven't really figured it out yet, but we're going to do something. We're going to give you something where we kind of cover the X-Men as a whole, kind of what they mean to the game and how much they're going to shake up the meta, because they are certainly going to be popular. And speaking of popular characters, we have Sabretooth and his lesser-known brother Wolverine in this box. Pat, is there one of them you would like to start with?
Yeah, so I think we agreed we're going to save the best to last, and that means we're going to start with Sabretooth, right?
Now, I thought that meant we start with Wolverine, but that's fine. We can start with Sabretooth.
I'm kidding. I actually like both these characters a lot. But starting with Sabretooth. So Sabretooth, he is a 6 stamina character on both sides. His healthy and injured sides are identical. He's got long move, he's size 3, and he is 4 threat. His defenses are 3 physical, 3 energy, 3 mystic. He's got 2 attacks. The first is a claw slash. It's range 2, 5 dice physical. Gives power equal to damage, and it has a double wild effect. So a single wild will get you bleed and pierce, which is a very strong set of wilds. Pierce in particular is one of my favorites. Then his second attack, Savage Predator, range 2, 7 dice, 4 power cost physical attack. And it has Finisher, which triggers if you get a wild and a hit. And it says, after this attack is resolved, this character may make a claw slash attack. This character may reroll any number of attack dice during the attack. So like a mega flurry. This is an attack that sometimes will do nothing and sometimes will be massively explosive because that finisher effect is huge.
Yeah, I don't love Savage Predator, but I think Claw Slash is a really solid builder. And I think the thing I'm most excited about is he's a long mover.
Yeah, so it's interesting, right? Because we don't have that many aggressive melee-oriented long movers, and just having this option to get up the table quickly and start beating face is pretty useful. Looking now at the rest of his powers, his first is No Mercy, 3-cost active power. During the next attack this character makes this turn, add 1 die to its attack roll for each damage the target character has to a maximum of 3. So 3 power for up to 3 damage. Then Untamed Force, 2-cost reactive power. After you attack Sabretooth, he can make a claw slash attack against the attacker if they're within range 2 of him. So similar to So Many Snacks for Venom, but only for claw slash. Combos really well with his next power, Aggressive, just like Crossbones. After an attack targeting this character is resolved, if this character suffers damage, it can advance short towards the attacking character. So If I attack and damage Sabretooth, he can move towards me and then attack. Or he could attack me, then move past me, potentially. It's a pretty good combo. And last but not least, he's got healing factor 1. So at the end of his turns, he heals for 1 point of damage.
Is it at the end of the turn or the end of the activation, Pat? I don't remember the exact wording. I thought it was activation.
I actually forget. I mean, when you end your activation, you end your turn immediately afterwards. It's pretty corner case. Which one actually matters? Because it's not round, right? It's not at the end of the round he heals. It's when you're finished activating him, you pass it over, you're going to heal 1.
Yeah, only really, I mean, all you've got immediately comes to mind, but yeah, we can look that up and we'll figure out.
You're right. Actually, your mention of all you've got have reminded me, because I saw this come up. It is the end of each of his activations.
Okay.
So all you've got will heal him twice.
That makes sense. So it's pretty much just the antithesis of bleed.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So that's pretty... He's an interesting card coming in at 4 threat. I don't love No Mercy or Savage Predator, but I really like his movement. I think he's reasonably durable for given his speed. I mean, he's no Black Panther, but Untamed Force and Aggressive are really attractive, right? Aggressive on top of that long mover means he really kind of goes wherever he wants.
Yeah, and I think it's that combination of two abilities that define his character, because like you said, he's not that tough, but when you add the dissuasion factor of him being able to move and attack if you attack him, there's not a lot of characters that really want to make attacks against a full health Sabretooth, right? And if you don't want to attack a full health Sabretooth, you're not really going to get him down to a lower health value very easily. So he can be in, like, the games I've played with him so far, he's in this interesting situation where he can play really aggressively, but people try their hardest to ignore him. And healing factor plays into that as well, right? Because it's very common if you attack Sabretooth, you get punished really hard for it, then he heals, and you feel like you just have been wasting your time.
Yeah, and I guess it's worth pointing out that his backside is the same as his front side. Nothing changes other than like his clothing has some more holes in it. So his powers as a whole don't change. Yeah, I've seen and I've tried to just like throw terrain or do slight collateral things to him. But healing factor is kind of a nice workaround for that. And one of the things too is like, while I personally don't like Savage Predator as a spender, it can be very explosive, like Pat said. And if you let Sabretooth hit you with a Savage Predator and he triggers a gnarly finisher, it can really be a lot of unexpected burst damage.
Yeah, he's a character who is quite difficult to predict exactly how much damage he's going to do against you. And although that is maybe not ideal when you're using him, it's also not ideal when you're on the receiving end, right? He's a character that's really annoying to play against because you feel like you can't really attack him and he's fast enough that you can't really ignore him. And he could just get an outstanding activation. And Claw Slash is so much better, for example, if it rolls a wild on its 5 dice, right? And Savage Predator, if it gets its effect, is ridiculous. So he's a character that is hard to interact with, not easy to ignore, but potentially is really, really punishing.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't agree with that more. So I think he's a good character. He's got he's got some great ways to dump his power out. He struggles a little bit with his power generation in a vacuum. Pierce definitely helps with that, right? But still, we're talking about a range 2 5 dice builder, right? And no other real way for him to get power out himself.
Yeah. He is also a character that is really good at converting his power into damage, right? Between No Mercy, Untamed Force and Savage Predator, he's got 3 different ways to turn his power into more dice. And that means that if he is able to get a lot of power, he can just do huge, terrifying things. So overall, I really like him. I think it's interesting that he doesn't have any kind of charge, because long move is nice, but I have found it very difficult to get a double attack activation with him.
Yeah, I found that as well, and that's one of the kind of early bars we set out there for quote-unquote melee characters, right, is their ability to get 2 attacks, right? And I guess the thing to keep in mind is, like, I have had a pretty easy time getting an Untamed Force attack plus a Claw Slash, so mm-hmm. while he doesn't often get 2 attacks during his activation, I feel like he pretty commonly, for me, makes 2 attacks during a round.
Yeah, that's fair. And obviously, if he's doing that, it's pretty good. I also like that No Mercy incentivizes him to pick on weak and damaged characters. And so having just a long move and a No Mercy claw slash, for example, if he's got 3 power, could be a really good turn where he can throw out up to 8 dice, usually net some of that power back, bearing in mind that his target is damaged, so there might be a limit to how much power he can actually generate with the attack. But doing like a long move, then an 8 dice attack and dazing a character is going to feel pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't really think I have anything else to add about Sabretooth. I have some stuff about healing factor, but let's talk about Wolverine first, and then we can circle back to that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the things about this pack, right, is there's 2 cards in it that apply to both Wolverine and Sabretooth, and they are both amazing. So we can't really fully assess Sabretooth without the cards. But yeah, let's talk about Wolverine first. So Wolverine is a character who does vary quite a lot between his healthy and injured sides. On his healthy side, he has 7 stamina. He is medium move, size 2, and 4 threat. He has 4 physical defense, 3 energy, but only 2 mystic. His first attack, Adamantium Slash, is range 2, 5 dice physical, generates power to damage, and has Wild, Bleed, and Pierce. It's exactly the same as Sabretooth's Claw Slash, which I think is pretty cool. Pretty cool mirroring. And his second attack, Berserker Barrage, range 3, 7 dice, 3 power cost physical. It lets him place himself within range 1 of his target, and if he damages them and they're size 3 or less, then he can throw them short. So this is an attack that gives him a kind of a move through the place and a throw, which is pretty powerful, right?
Yeah, it's also worth noting that the place is before damage is dealt, right? So you don't have to worry about KOing the target if you're really doing it for the move. You're going to get to place yourself regardless.
Yes, and it's also important because of the throw effect, right? Which is after the attack is resolved. Mm-hmm. So he will place, then throw his target. Unlike, say, Crossbones, whose overpower lets him throw the target and then place himself at their new location, Wolverine isn't able to do that.
Yeah, I like his attack suite. I like Berserker Barrage a lot more than I like Sabretooth Spender. And I do like that they functionally have the same builder, just with different names.
Yeah, I think that's cool. And I agree. I think Berserker Barrage is real good. Then his powers. His first is The Best at What I Do, which is a super cool name. It's 3 cost. It's an action. And it is essentially a charge with a bonus. So a bit like for Asgard. It lets him make a move action followed by an Adamantium Slash attack. But when he makes the attack, each wild in the attack roll counts as 2 successes. Then he's got Adamantium Skeleton. This is a cool kind of fluffy or lore-friendly ability. It makes him count as size 3 for throws and pushes. So he's harder to throw and push because he's so heavy. And if he gets thrown, he hurts people more. And it's really relevant for one of his tactics cards, which we'll talk about in a sec. His 2 innate powers, Healing Factor 2. So he heals for 2 a turn, much better than Sabretooth's 1. And immunity to stun. Stun is a really powerful effect, so immunity to that is really nice.
Yeah, just a really nice quality of life on that immunity to stun. And even though he has that medium movement, right, we both really value a charge action. And while this charge action is hard to use, right, costing 3, it's very powerful, right, with that double trigger. We've seen that a similar thing on, what, Doc Ock before? And it can lead to some explosive turns, right? So both Wolverine and Sabretooth have some interesting mechanics where they can just explode for kind of unexpected damage amounts.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, this is a double wild damage trigger on an attack that already has bleed and pierce on a wild, right? So that wild is worth essentially 3 damage to you. 1 for the success, 1 for the pierce, 1 for the doubling, plus a bleed. So his attacks are going to be absurd when he rolls wilds and really lackluster when he doesn't.
Yeah, so what do you think about Wolverine as a whole? To me, he's more tempting than Sabretooth.
So I think, I don't know if I agree, but you know what? We've missed something. We need to talk about his injured side.
Oh, yes, we do.
So his injured side, he changes quite a lot. Specifically, he goes down from 7 stamina to 5, which is a big dip, right? For 12 total, same as Sabretooth. And he gains a new ability, Wild Rage. Add 1 die to this character's attack rolls for each damage it has on it. And then additionally, this character can't interact with or hold objective tokens. So, big benefit, but big cost. A bit like Green Goblin, he becomes more dangerous and less crisis-focused after he gets damaged. He's out for revenge. Yeah, and I think you have to take this into account when you're considering his whole character. Why do you think he's more compelling than Sabretooth?
For me, it really just comes down to the charge action. I found it's a lot easier for me to get him out there dealing damage, though he does struggle from the how am I going to get free power in order to use that charge action. And again, my big thing is I really enjoyed Berserker Barrage, the consistency of it, whether as opposed to kind of the swinginess of Sabretooth's.
Yeah, I like Wolverine's healthy side a lot because 7 stamina with 4 physical defense and a heal for 2 is... Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention, Wolverine on his injured side is immune to stagger. That's a pretty big deal.
That is big.
But going back, his healthy side I like because it's so tough. It's really hard to reliably do 7 damage in an attack activation with a character. And then that means he's a character who is a frontline brawler, but he doesn't need to go first necessarily, right? You can save him to activate later. He can survive some punches, then activate and heal. And if he gets to do that game plan, he can be really, really difficult to deal with. So his resilience is more kind of straight up, whereas Sabretooth's is more through making himself an unappealing target. You'd rather not gamble against Sabretooth, whereas Wolverine, you'll throw attacks and trim and they just might not achieve very much. The fact that he has 2 ways to close the gap, right, between the best at what I do and Berserker Barrage, he's got 2 ways that he can get closer and save his attack actions, so he's much more likely to make double attacks. And Berserker Barrage, being able to move him, attack, and throw, is very strong.
Yeah, I agree with all those points. I also think that the 7 stamina on the healthy side makes it a little bit easier for me to leverage healing factor. Obviously, he has a healing factor 2, which can be pretty large. You combine that with any other healing effect. That's a lot of passive healing. And on his flips, oh, and then his immunity stun, like, we kind of blip over it. We're just like, yeah, it's not a very exciting superpower to talk about, but that's a very powerful superpower, is what I'll say. Especially in a character that you anticipate getting attacked a lot, right? You really want that power generation from taking damage. So just being able to get the full value of that as opposed to diminished value from stun is really important.
And if you've got a bit of power, having like a double Berserker Barrage turn can be pretty amazing, right? If you're facing off against 2 targets and you throw them at each other twice and hit them for 7 dice each, that's pretty great.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say is he is one of the few characters that can't make more than 2 attacks where I would actually consider Doom Prophecy. I actually really like Doom Prophecy Wolverine on his flip side. I know it doesn't make a huge difference between flip and healthy, right? Healthy side, I don't want to risk the Doom Prophecy because he loses a bunch of durability. On his flip side, I figure if we're just going all in, right, if we're even tossing all you've got in, he can have some pretty explosive turns with the Doom Prophecy if you're able to trigger the best at what I can do. And then again, Berserker Barrage as well. So I just like Wolverine a little more as a complete character. But there's some compelling reasons to run both of them too, and I guess we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, before we do, there was one more sweet little combo I wanted to throw out after you mentioned Doom Prophecy, which is I really like Wolverine with No Matter the Cost. No Matter the Cost, of course, is the tactics card that lets you take up to 3 damage to get that much power to spend on an attack. So Berserker Barrage is a great spender that costs 3. Wolverine heals 2 damage at the end of his activation. So he can use No Matter the Cost to have a free Berserker Barrage for only 1 damage, effectively, because it heals 2. It's a really good turn 1 play where he can move and Berserker Barrage onto a point, throwing somebody off and doing big damage to them. And it's amazing on his injured side because, of course, the damage he takes from it will convert to extra dice.
Yeah, nope, that's a great point. I mean, you end up with a pretty easy 10 dice Berserker Barrage attack there, right? Just to start off your turn?
Yeah, I mean, it's real good.
Yeah, definitely a great shout out there. So I think they're both really compelling characters. When I say I prefer Wolverine, it's certainly not by a lot. I like both the characters individually, and let's get over to their Team Tactics cards. So there are definitely some interesting ones there, Pat.
Yeah, and actually their Team Tactics cards make the question of which you like more a little bit redundant, right? Because there's strong incentives to play both. There's 3 cards in the box. You've got Weapon X Program. You've got Exceptional Healing. And you've got 1-2 Punch. TT, 1-2 Punch is a core set card. This one comes with the old art. What do you think of that?
I think it's great. I love the art that's depicted on it. I think it's a really great image. And I love that they're seeing reprints here. One of the complaints people have had about the game is, well, what if I don't want this thing, but I want this card, right? And that's come up a few times. And I love them putting some functional reprints out there. I still recommend the core set to almost anyone ever buying into the game, but it's great to see Atomic Mass Games starting to do reprints and making it so maybe it's not as hard for you to track down field dressing or something in the future.
Yeah, I think if they continue with reprints, it's going to be for the good of the player base for sure. Because like you said, it removes this problem of having these chase boxes where you feel obliged to buy a box just for a card. And I also love the fact that you can then choose your art, right? Personalize it to you, match it to your team. I think it's all good. There's really no downside to this.
Yeah, and again, the art is really, really, really cool. Giant Sentinel, I really like it. They've spoiled some other ones. If you look at the transmission, I think there's a reprint of Heave-Ho up there right now. So there's definitely some pretty cool stuff out there.
Yeah, and we know that Advanced R&D is coming with the Beast of Mystique box as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot they spoiled that one. Yeah, so definitely some really cool reprints coming. So I'm very happy about the reprints is what I'll say. Yeah, again, just a nice quality of life thing that they're doing to try to help the general health of the player base.
Yeah, it's cool. As for the new cards, they're both real spicy. I like these cards a lot. Rappan X Program is an active card that can be used by Wolverine or Sabretooth, and it lets them pounce. So that's pretty cool, right? A pounce short for 3 power. It seems on face value, hey, isn't this just worse than Black Panther or Gamora? But these characters are both size 3, because Sabretooth is size 3 and Wolverine has his adamantium skeleton, which means their pounce is doing essentially 4 damage minus dodge. I really like Climbing Gear. Climbing Gear is a card that costs 3 and gives you a short move. This is a card that costs 3, gives you a short move, and does massive damage.
Yeah, and I guess it's worth noting, anyone who isn't super familiar with Black Panther, a pounce is this character, either Wolverine or Sabretooth, is thrown short, and then this character does not suffer damage if it collides with something, but anything it collides with suffers the impact damage. So again, it's a free movement in addition to some damage. I really like it. It does exemplify to me the fact that, especially for Wolverine, he has a hard time getting power to start going. But once you start rolling, it's a lot of damage coming out there. Avoiding 4 points of damage, like Pat said, is pretty monstrous.
Right. This is a card that I think is a little bit better on Sabretooth, because Wolverine has other ways to get close to his targets, and Sabretooth doesn't. So this card can sort of sub in for a charge for Sabretooth. Whereas Wolverine can spend that 3 power to do a similar effect that closes a similar distance already. And like you said, they're unlikely to have enough power to do both. So I think Wolverine has a bigger opportunity cost for how he spends that power. But for Sabretooth in particular, I like it. And of course, if you're running both together, you're just going to have more options as to when to use it.
Yeah, and then for me personally, when I look at it, I am more willing to use a Pounce Weapon X Program in lieu of Savage Predator, because like we talked about, I think we're both pretty high on Berserker Barrage, and Savage Predator is just kind of just a little bit more of a middling attack, right?
Yeah. It's interesting. I mentioned how no matter the cost is really good with Berserker Barrage. I'm not sure if that is better or worse than this card. But of course, no matter the cost doesn't cost any power. So if I'm only playing Wolverine, maybe I take no matter the cost. Maybe I take both. If I'm playing both characters together, or if I'm playing Sabretooth, maybe I take this instead.
Yeah, it's worth noting, too, that Weapon X Program, while an active card, doesn't mandate its Wolverine or Sabretooth's activation, right? So you can throw them out of their normal activation cycle if that's important for any particular reason as well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So the second card is Exceptional Healing. Continuing my trend of saying shorthands that then TT has to explain, this is for Asgard. And my gosh, for Asgard, it's a good card.
For Asgard is the affiliated Asgard
card. Oh, no, it's not for Asgard. I got it wrong.
Oh, no, for Asgard, it's the charge effect. It's Odin's Blessing, yeah. Which Wolverine's immune to on his flip side. But anyway, it's Odin's Blessing. And this is when a friendly allied character with healing factor would be damaged by an enemy effect. You may spend 3 to play this card. reduce the amount of damage suffered to 1. So if you hit for 10 points of damage, you can spend 3 points of power and have that reduced to 1, which can be pretty incredible, and it's real obnoxious to play against.
Yeah, it's strong, right? It's a very, very strong affiliated card, and this lets you take it out of affiliation in the all-new mini-affiliation of characters with healing factor, right? Which is Wolverine and Sabretooth. And I like it a lot. I think it's interesting on these two characters because it fills slightly different roles, right? On Wolverine, who we were talking about already, is so hard to kill and is happy to sit there and take a beating. It just pushes him into this realm of, do you ever bother fighting Wolverine? You know what I mean? It's like, he's so off-putting to fight when he's already so tough, and then he is going to reduce damage on an attack, making it seem impossible that you're going to take him out in your activation. And then, of course, he's going to heal when he activates. With Sabretooth, he is a little bit more fragile, and this card is likely to be more clutch for him. But it also adds to that unappealing nature that he has of, you don't want to fight Sabretooth because he's going to punish you. Now you don't want to fight him because he's going to punish you and you're not going to kill him.
Yeah, it's also the reason that I'm willing to pop a Doom Prophecy on Wolverine, right? Wolverine will be able to leverage this to hopefully stay alive through some of the incoming attacks. But I think it's just a really powerful card. And there's no reason you couldn't take one of, or maybe even both, of these characters in the Asgard affiliation if you really wanted to run Odin's Blessing and Exceptional Healing. Just be the bane of every Black Order player out there. It's very powerful. My one concern, again, is both of these characters are a little power-strapped in my playing with them. You usually end up using this like the second time you're being attacked from a double attack. Like the first one gives you, you know, the 1 or 2 points of power you need to have the threshold. And then the second attack, you're able to use this to keep yourself alive. But I really like the card. It's incredibly powerful. The fact that it is literally an affiliations card and they get it as an unaffiliated, quote unquote, healing factor bros card is incredible.
Yeah, it's real good. I think this card in particular is way better if you're running both characters, because if you just have it on one character, it's a bit like Age of Ultron, right? It's a strong incentive not to attack that character, but you've got all these other targets that you can attack instead. So you just don't attack that character, and it's relatively easy to play around. Whereas if you've got multiple characters that can benefit from this, it's much harder to play your game and ignore both of them, right? And it's much more likely that as the owner of this card, you're going to get to use it effectively.
Yeah, I agree with you. So this brings up this interesting point. Are you willing to take 2 roster slots and 2 team taxes card slot for these two brothers? Like, are you willing to put Exceptional Healing and Weapon X program, Wolverine and Sabretooth into your roster?
Yeah, I think I am. I think, is it the best option? Maybe not. Maybe not. But, I mean, it's super cool, right? Super cool. And I think you could do a really fun, aggressive, brawling team that use both of these characters and those cards to good effect.
Yeah, and I think my immediate response is it's very fluffy, it's a lot of fun to play, and I'm going to reserve judgment until obviously the rest of the X-Men come out, right? So because who knows what additional synergies are going to be out there. But I love this box. I love the feel, how evocative each one of these characters are, and I think the cards only add to that.
Yeah. Me too. I really rate it. In terms of being a good box to consider as a purchase, one thing I want to call out is I love how self-contained it is, right? The fact that they've got these two characters that have these two shared tactics cards is almost a mini affiliation. If you like these characters, or you just think they'd be fun to play with, you can buy this box and you can have them as your two unaffiliated options in any team, and they'll work really well together.
Mm. No, that's a great point. Something I hadn't considered. So yeah, Again, I'm a huge fan of this box. So, Pat, before we wrap up, have you seen the Live? I don't know how do you pronounce the name? L-I-E-V. Live? Live?
Well, either one. That's the joy of the English language. What word are you trying to say?
I'll send it to you in Discord. It's the name of an actor, and he played the X-Men in the Origins, and that was when I like fell in love with Sabretooth. I always thought he was like the stupid bit character, and then I think it's Lee Shriver played him, and I really like that movie if people haven't checked it out, X-Men Origins Wolverine, which came out 11 years ago, if you'd like to feel old.
Really? Wow. I think it's Lee... Oh, I don't know. Yeah, Liv? Oh, L-I-E-V. Right, not yeah. L-I-V-E. Right, I thought you were asking me how you pronounce live.
No, I can pronounce that word. There are many words I can't pronounce. But I love that movie if you haven't checked it out. There's so many X-Men movies, and there are even obviously, you know, thousands more X-Men comics, but I personally really enjoyed that movie and I'm very excited for Wolverine and Sabretooth. So, before we close on them, Pat, are there any affiliations that you immediately love their inclusion into?
I actually, I'll tell you what, we were talking about them last week. I really like them in Criminal Syndicate because, they are both resilient. Wolverine in particular is really hard to daze, which is what you want with the Criminal Syndicate leadership, right? You're going to be able to contest as two characters for longer. And he's immune to stun, which is really good on the Mayor Fisk crisis. And then Sabretooth is fast for getting to objectives. He's tough enough and he has aggressive, so he's really hard to push off objectives. So I think the two of them work really well in Criminal Syndicate, especially on Mayor Fisk.
No, great shout out there. I'm going to stay on brand. I've really enjoyed Sabretooth in Avengers. I know I prefer Wolverine.
Gasp.
Untamed Force is really obnoxious in the Avengers shell, right? Reducing that power cost to only one to get that free attack has just had a ton of value. I really like him as just another long mover. You can add to that affiliation to be really annoying and fast and kind of all over the map, right? It's pretty easy to end up with Sabretooth, Black Panther, and like Widow with this incredibly fast team out there.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I like the extra dissuasion that that would have, right? Knowing that just increasing the chances, even if Sabretooth has no power, the chance that you just do one damage and that's all you need then to trigger both aggressive and untamed force if he's an Avenger. Really cool.
Yeah, so everyone, thank you so much for listening to the episode. Patreons, you can stay tuned for the after the credit scenes. I think we're actually going to talk about something a little fun, a little different. We're going to talk about Vibranium Heist, which we recently ran free for our Patreons, and your promos will be mailing out soon. If you're interested in becoming a Patreon, there's all sorts of different benefits. You can check that out at patreon.com/acrossthebifrost. You get the after the credit scene, which is this bonus 10 to 20 minute episode every week. Normally about something related to the main episode, but sometimes like this week we go down rabbit holes. You also get access to our Discord server, and like I said, we run a couple cool events and we have some interesting giveaways for you too. So please check out patreon.com/acrossthebifrost. If you'd like to support the podcast but aren't in a position to financially, that's okay. We still love you. We appreciate every listen from every one of you out there. Any likes, shares, or comments on social media and any reviews on Spotify or iTunes are greatly appreciated. So that was a mouthful. Again, we just want to thank you so much for listening. Till next time, everyone, cheers and happy game.
Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up high, there's a pod that I've heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere across the Bifrost, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true.
All right. Do you want to do Sabretooth or Wolverine first?
It has to be Wolverine, right?
No, see, I thought it would be Sabretooth. That's fine.
You want to save the best to last?
Yeah, sure. We can say that. we can lead with Wolverine. That's fine.
You know what, TT? If you read the card, you can take your pick.
But that's your job, though. You read the cards. Do you want me to read the cards? You've read all of them. I guess you do a lot of reading. I'd much rather hear a Brit than a Yank read the card.
You know, you were in a recent Discord vote for having the best podcast voice on the TTS Discord. Did you see that?
I did not see that. I don't follow the Discord that much. Did I win? Who won?
I actually forget who won. It was kind of a passing trend, so I don't think it was like a competition where they collated the winner. But you had a lot of votes, and I voted for you, of course.
Ah, well, thank you, Pat. I appreciate that.
Welcome.
We're a little bit short, but I think that should be fine.
Just like Wolverine.
Is he short?
He's famously short. He's like 5'3".
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm 5'6", so I'm normally short. But I'm very tall for a Korean, is what I tell people. So the other thing I wanted to say is, do you know that Headbutt is the first attack that has been functionally reprinted with different rules?
Yes, I do, because you've ranted about this several times.
Okay. Well, it still bothers me, Pat. Do you want me to rant again, or are you good?
That's not true, right? Strike has been reprinted with different rules.
Strike doesn't count, but Strike also bothers me.
Okay.
But, like, I don't understand, right? Because this is a claw slash, right? And then Wolverine's got adamantium slash. I don't understand why Strike also has to be reprinted. There are lots of words. You come up with different words. I just want every Strike to be the same and every Headbutt to be the same. And the Headbutts are so close, right? I mean, they're really close to each other.
Yes, but annoyingly different in what they do.
I mean, yeah, one's a spender and one's a builder, right?
But do they both do the same effect? They both push and stun or not?
They both wild stun, and then Drax's is just a default push. And then, obviously,
Kingpin's is a wild push.
So other than that, other than the range is the same, the dice are different, right? Five dice versus four dice, right? Kingpin's is a builder and costs zero. Drax's is a spender that costs two. And then they both stun and have a chance to push. It's just, I don't know. I don't understand. It bothers me.
Fair. Well, I'm sorry that it bothers you. It's about the most helpful thing I can say about that.
Well, I appreciate that. Give me a moment to get my Vibranium Heist cards out so I can reference things, and then I'll be ready to go.
I do not have these cards in front of me, so if there is reading to be done, you're the man to do it.
That's fine. I don't think we need to read it. I just want, just in case we need to reference anything.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone run Vibranium Heist in your local area? Because I know your game stores are actually open again.
We were going to... we had problems ordering it. So it
got delayed. Do you want me to send? No,
No, it's okay. They should be arriving soon. But this month, the orders got split for UK. So Punisher Taskmaster arrived 2 weeks ago, but Kingpin and Daredevil Bullseye and Vibranium Heist have literally only just arrived. Then in the UK, we went into what is functionally second lockdown last week. So we missed the window of being able to run it. And now it is languishing unplayed in stores.
Colorado has entered our second lockdown, but it's a gentle lockdown. We were never as open as you guys. But anyway, that's depressing stuff. We don't have to talk about that. Our state is also on fire, and there's an election. Anyway, if you need a Vibranium Heist box, let me know, because I'm planning on mailing you a care package next month. We can talk about what's going to be in it, but we've got movement sticks in there and some other things. Do you have the opening promos, right? You don't need those?
Opening promos? I don't have the Vibranium Heist promos. I have the Avengers Assemble promos, yeah.
Yeah, that one with the alternate card for Cap and Red Skull.
Yeah,
you have that,
I've got all those, thanks, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to send you a couple sets of Heist promos and some other things, but let me know if there's anything else from the States you want, like a Snickers bar or something.